Without further ado,
WBSM presents The Very Richard Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Very Richard Show.
All righty, 2:07 on this Wednesday afternoon. If you're just tuning in, I have very little voice. I've been like this for like a week now. And kind of inconvenient when you talk for a living, but we'll make it our way through. Thanks for joining us. 508-996-0500 is the phone number. I'll ask you to give me just a couple of minutes. I got a couple of things I need to get on the table here. And then we'll get some calls. Again, 508-996-0500. But I just wanted to tell you that sales of single-family homes in Massachusetts continue to decline. And a big number still. And it's driving up the prices. And there were, according to the Warren Group, Warren Group is like the premier, I guess, premier tracking real estate company in Massachusetts, probably elsewhere too. But Warren Group said there were 2,305 single-family homes sold across Massachusetts last month. It's January. Almost 13% fewer than were sold a year earlier. So home sales in Massachusetts, single-family home sales, dropped by 13% year over year from last year in Massachusetts. And analysts that point to a holiday season slowdown amongst prospective buyers. Well, it's got to be more than that, though, because if it's a holiday season slowdown, well, that would mean that last year it was a slowdown in January as well, right? Because post-holidays. But yet it's down 13% from last year. So it's got to be more than that. I think probably the prices continue to go up, so that probably has a lot to do with it as well. A lot of people don't buy in January, I guess. I'm trying to remember what month we bought our house in. We bought our house in December. And yeah, that was fun. We had a small kid, 3 years old at that point. And move in like less than a week before Christmas. We had a tree for my son, but we didn't have any curtains on the wall yet. But anyway, so the Warren Group reports that January sales represented a decline of 12.7% compared to January of 2025. But with the number of sales down, the median single-family home price continued to climb up by 4.7% over last January, $612,500. The average price of a single-family home in Massachusetts last month. The dynamic of chronically limited inventory and always escalating prices has played a major role in driving up cost of living in Massachusetts. So there are efforts, obviously, to build more housing, right? State policymakers are counting on new housing production law to begin to chip away at what is expected to be a 220,000 plus housing unit shortage by 2030. I don't know who's going to want the houses. Everybody's leaving. Worcester recorded more single family home sales last month than any other municipality with 53, but that's still a 21% drop from the 67 sales recorded last January. Plymouth was next with 31 closed sales. Falmouth and Chicopee were tied with 26 sales, followed by 25 sales each in Brockton and Pittsfield, 24 sales recorded in Wareham and New Bedford. By comparison, there were 5 single-family homes sold in Boston last month, just 5. So New Bedford Light had this story about the city council voting last Thursday to lower parking minimums for new housing. It was a vote of 8-3. It's a new ordinance that will, I'm reading by Grace Ferguson's story here in New Bedford Light, a new ordinance that will slash parking minimums for new buildings, including apartments, passed a final city council vote last Thursday. It was an 8-3 vote to send the ordinance to the mayor's desk to be signed into law. And you know it will be. Councilors Derek Baptist, Ward 4, Leo Choquette, Ward 1, and Brian Gomes at large voted against the ordinance, saying it would cause cars from new housing developments to overflow into surrounding neighborhoods. Hello. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. If you've got an apartment building, say, downtown, and that apartment, each apartment only gets one parking space, well, where's my wife going to park her car? She's going to have to park in the neighborhoods. Or anywhere else if you have an apartment complex, right? Or a house with units in it. If you only get one parking space, well, the other people in your life have to park somewhere, so they're gonna park on the streets, and that's gonna crowd the neighborhoods. Many streets already compete for parking places, right? Current zoning requires developers of new buildings to set aside at least 2 off-street parking spaces per housing unit. That's a standard that most existing multifamily buildings don't meet. A triple-decker built today would need a driveway or garage with 6 spots. The planning board often grants exceptions to this rule, though it is costly and time-consuming approval process for developers. The ordinance the city council passed would reduce the minimum to 1 space per unit for apartments with fewer than 3 bedrooms. So if you got 2 bedrooms, that can mean it's you and the spouse and a kid, right? Maybe that kid's old enough to drive. The 2-space minimum will stay in place for larger apartments, single-family homes, and duplexes. The ordinance also reduces and clarifies parking minimums for many types of businesses. For example, supermarkets would have to reduce, or new supermarkets would have fewer parking spaces than existing supermarkets. City planners say they wrote the ordinance based on data-driven analysis of current conditions in the city. Now, I'm calling BS on this. I'm going to call BS on this. And don't just show me your numbers, because I don't believe this at all. Census data shows that about half of the tenement households in New Bedford have only one car. About half have only one car, tenements. I'm sorry, but I don't believe it. Don't believe your numbers. They also say about a quarter don't even own a car. Tenement houses, about a quarter of the people. Now, you live on any of those cramped streets, in Ward 2, or down in Ward 6 or whatever, with the, you know, loads of tenements, that would indicate to me that there are no cars on the streets. Those streets are clear as a bell, right? Nobody's parking there because nobody has cars. Nobody has cars. About half of tenant households in New Bedford have only one car. About a quarter of them have no car. Ain't buying it. I'm not buying this at all. Anyway, Councilor Shane Burgo, the council's most progressive voice on housing, says Grace Ferguson, says the city needed to lower parking minimums to address its severe housing shortage. Parking is a concern. It is something that we haven't seen in the past. where homes have a whole fleet of vehicles. Brego said. But at the same time, too, we cannot just cater to these individuals that have a fleet of vehicles and say to those people sleeping in the street, sorry, continue sleeping in the street because I need these people to have a parking space. Now, that's a bunch of progressive crap right there. People are not sleeping in the streets because you have two cars. This is all progressive mumbo jumbo garbage. You know, they want everybody to use public transportation. Get a bike. Come on, Nana, get your ass on that bike and pedal down the avenue. Come on. Councilor Gomes pushed back on that. He said that developments currently being built in New Bedford weren't going to house the city's homeless or improve the quality of life in the neighborhoods. This is not for the less fortunate, he said. We keep BSing that, and I can't stand it. He also said he thought the ordinance would allow developers to keep shortchanging the city. In other words, they don't have to spend as much money, right? Councilor Baptiste, Choquette, and Gomes say the ordinance is unrealistic because they think apartment dwellers will bring more cars than the city planners expect. You can't get around the area without a car. We don't have bus service that's as extensive as these Green New Dealers would like you to think. What, are you going to take an Uber to go to the supermarket? Because you're not allowed to have more than one car or more than one parking place. Choquette, who represents the suburban Ward 1, said he supports growing the city's tax base with new development, but said it would have been more reasonable to start by lowering the minimum to 1.5 spaces per unit instead of just one. Yes, we want to make the developer friendly and commercial business is friendly, but at what cost and what speed, he said. A senior housing development in Ward 1 with 48 apartments and 42 parking spaces has caused headaches. Choquette said, some Ward 1 residents have strongly opposed preliminary plans for a three-story development at the empty New York Chinese Buffet on Ashley Boulevard. Residents of Ward 4 raising concerns about a nine-unit development in that part of the city. Baptist, the Ward 4 councilor, said it's already hard for residents to find parking spots, and you got to be crazy to think that tenant households will only have one car. This is more state of Massachusetts, Commonwealth of Massachusetts garbage that is being shoved down our throats. Started with the Baker administration and is carrying on with this current administration. Get everybody in public transportation. I don't want to be in public transportation. I want to buy, you know what? All of this tomfoolery and idiocy is part of the reason I moved out of the city. I used to pay a lot of taxes in this city. For 25 years, I owned a house here. We moved. We live in Dartmouth now. We don't have to deal with this garbage anymore. They love having us here, too. Most people do. But something that's of grave concern to me right now with this whole housing push and apartments push and so on and so forth is that we are apparently on the verge of foregoing public safety in order to meet unrealistic housing goals, right? Governor Healey has ordered the creation of a technical advisory group. A technical advisory group, because we don't have enough study groups already, to explore the safety impacts of easing a building code restriction that one analyst said could unlock roughly 130,000 housing units. So we'll forego safety and just so we can get some more housing units. So Healy says, well, we need to study this. We need to have a study committee to come back because that's how we govern in this state, by study committee. Through an executive order, Healy wants the group, the study committee, to analyze allowing single staircases in residential buildings that are higher than three stories. If you have an apartment building that's above three stories, you only need one staircase. No front and back. Yeah, you got a front staircase, you got the back staircase, so you can get out the front door, the back door, in the event there's an emergency. Healy wants the group to analyze allowing single staircases in residential buildings that are higher than three stories. Under existing building code, residential developments above three stories or with long hallways must have two staircases, a rule that housing advocates say impedes construction on smaller lots. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have quality than quantity. I'd rather think that if my Nana lived on the fourth floor, that she'd be able to get out of that house if it caught fire. Wouldn't you? Rather than squish in one more house next to it. You know, I went into my first mission to Haiti. Some of you may know I did mission work in Haiti. Went in right after the earthquake back in 2010. And an estimated 300,000 people died, maybe more than that. And part of the reason they died is because they had really bad housing codes. And all of the housing, not all of the housing, but a lot of the housing in, say, Port-au-Prince, they look like Fred Flintstone houses. Remember Fred Flintstone's house and Barney Rubble's house? They were made out of all stone, and they had holes in them for the windows and the doors. I'm not lying to you. That's what they look like. But what they did was they stacked them on top of each other in order to fit. This whole idea of cutting red tape and cutting rules in order to fit more in, right? So they stacked these Fred Flintstone houses on top of each other. They're all made out of stone because they don't have wood in Haiti. All made out of stone. The earth shakes, I think it was 7.1 magnitude, if I remember correctly. So what happens? The house at the bottom, stone cracks, collapses, and all of the houses came down on top of it. Like a house of cards, all over Port-au-Prince. That's why there were so many deaths. So here in Massachusetts, the boneheads say, oh, we got to get more housing in, so we will forego public safety. No two staircases and anything over three stories. You're going to die anyway, so what the hell? Why are we going to waste time and money and space to save your sorry ass, right? You live on the fourth floor, you're going to die. I can't believe the governor has actually got to study this. The group will include fire safety, building architecture, accessibility, and public safety representatives. Healy's office says it will study the safety performance of single-stair multifamily residential buildings compared to those with at least two exits. Is it just me? Or do we live in the freaking cuckoo house? Because it seems as though every day there's something more stupid happening in the state than the day before. 508-996-0500, you're up next in WBSM. Thanks for hanging on.
What a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That's all I have to say.
A little soggy, but, you know.
Yeah. It'll work. It'll work. Yeah. This subject here, I was in construction for over 20 years. And what this tells me, and because I'm retired, I don't have to worry about my job anymore. This is, it's more of a money issue. And it just amazes me, once again. And I'm independent, but really, Democrats, you're going now deal with the safety of the public. There's a reason why you have two means of egress. How about the Station nightclub fire?
Yes.
How about the Coconut Grove fire? Didn't that teach us anything? So what's cheaper? You know, putting in another means of egress, or are we going to sprinkle the entire building and every sheetrock put in this, these units are going to be 100% fire-rated sheetrock? No. They're going to keep looking as much as they can to save. I mean, let's face it, at the end of the day, it's a money issue. That's why you don't see raised ranches being built, because the cost of material, the cost of land, doesn't make it feasible for even a regular contractor to build a house, because it's too expensive.
Well, I guess the logic behind this is that if you build a second staircase in the back, that it takes up more real estate. And they say they can make smaller houses without having that, and therefore build more houses on smaller lots.
Yeah, but you know how much BS that is? Because on the Mass General Law 143, there's a section there that says fire escapes are exempt from setback requirements.
Okay.
Period. Yeah. That's the law. That's Mass General Law 143. So once again, you know, the old saying goes, don't be, you know what, on me and tell me it's raining, because that's basically what's happening here.
Well, I know one thing. If I'm going to stick my Nana in an apartment or my mother in an apartment that's above the third floor, it better have a second way out of there in case there's a fire, because I don't want my Nana having to climb down a fire escape because there is no second way out. It's to me, it's common sense. You put people over anything else in the safety of those people, and to compromise that is just absurd, in my opinion.
Right, because they're not coming back, if you think about it, they're not coming back with any other alternatives. It's like I said, are you going to make everything 100% fireproof, every wall, all the wood in there is going to be fire rated? Are you going to have a fire suppression system, and talk about a sprinkler system that's, you know, checked periodically, and I don't mean once every 20 years, but like twice a year? I mean, where's the state fire marshal on this? You know, once again, they're the ones that promoted a lot of the fire safety requirements in the Massachusetts State Building Code. So you can't tell me he's liking this proposed step backwards after all the years, you know, they fought to get it on the books.
Right. Yeah.
I'd
love to hear what he has to say to the to this committee that's going to be investigating.
Well, is he even invited to the table?
Yeah.
If he isn't, that tells me another thing, too. They don't want to hear from the people that have to deal with it. Because all you're going to have at the table probably are the people who's looking at the bank accounts at the end of the day. You know, what's this going to cost? What's that going to cost? How much money am I going to save?
Well, you know, I don't want to, maybe I'm stupid, maybe I'm naive, but I mean, there comes a point. Massachusetts is a teeny weeny little state, right? Comes a point where you just don't have enough room to build out anymore. And you say, okay, we can't build anymore. Rather than sacrificing public safety. I mean, the city of New Bedford is tight. There's not much space left to build anything. So now we're going to start sacrificing public safety and saying, well, how about if we don't have windows? How about if you got to jump up on a trampoline to get to your apartment above the third floor? Because, well, we don't want to build a staircase that high. I mean, it sounds, you know, and this whole thing with the parking spaces and all of that. I mean, wow.
Don't even get me on the parking spaces. I live in a tenement, 3-family. We don't have 3 cars. We got 4 cars. Next door to me is a 5-family. I'm sorry, that's a 4-family. They got 6 cars. So, you know, and think about it, with the cost of rent. If you got a couple living in a house, in an apartment, you know, one person's not going to be able to afford it. So they both need vehicles to get back and forth to work.
Oh, that's a good point right there. Okay, so you've got a five apartment place, right? And you're told you can only have 2 parking spaces available for that entire building. Who's going to want to rent your place? Is that going to affect the value of your place? Well, this is a nice place, but I can't live there because we've got 2 cars in our family, so we've got to go find an apartment. That's got to have an impact on the value of your property.
Oh, it is, because, you know, you're not going to be able to rent if you don't have sufficient, because who's going to do what? I'm going to park what? We're not talking a block away. In this city, it could be 2 or 3 blocks away.
And in somebody else's parking place.
Your wife.
No, you're going to take somebody else's parking place in the neighborhood. Some guy spent all morning shoveling that place out, and you're going to go park there?
Really, you know, it doesn't make sense. And these politicians, and this is my last point I want to make, they're great at putting a lot of this stuff together. But you know what? do it after you've been doing it for a while. Like the same thing about increasing, you know, taxes and things like that. Yeah, it's great. I wish I was making a six-figure, salary like you guys are. Come down here to the 40s or the 50,000. Now tell me if that idea of that tax is feasible.
Yeah, I guarantee
they're
you.
They're looking through their own glass. They're not looking through the glass of the common people.
Yeah, and they never do live by the rules that they force us to live under, because I'm sure Maura Healey won't get rid of her back stairs if she has any in her house. And, you know, the lieutenant governor or any of the members of the legislature. Let's see if Tony Cabral seals the back of his house and only has one exit out of his house, right? It's crazy stuff. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Thanks for hanging on. You next.
Hello, Barry.
Hi.
You know, you said it. Common sense. They have no common sense. That's the problem. No matter what Democrat you listen to, these crazy ideas that they come up with, they are so insane. And I just want to share, and I know I told you I've listened to this before, but just for the heck of it, I was looking at something and it was talking about Maura Healey on WCVB Channel 5 in Boston on the record again. So I like to just go on there just to listen to that moron. And she is a total and absurd moron. People should go on there every now and then. It's called On the Record, OTR. And just listen to what comes out of this moron's mouth. She is so insane that she's going to, you know, she's encouraging Kelly Ayotte not to build an ICE facility in New Hampshire. And then she's saying that if she has more money, she's going to improve living standards and bring more families to Massachusetts. I mean, she's just so totally out of touch with reality. Who the hell wants to live here, the most expensive state in the whole country? She's insane. But if there's a lack of housing, why don't we get rid of the 1.3 million migrants that are in this state, which is 18.8% of the population, and then we'll have plenty of housing for the U.S. Citizens, American citizens who are paying taxes. That's the problem. We've imported 1.3 million migrants. You realize how much housing they take up? They're taking up all the housing. That's why there's a lack of housing. And regarding having one staircase, you know, and having building apartments on small pieces of property, if you drive through almost any street in New Bedford, especially like in the West End and especially in the South End, and the North End is bad too. You know, think about how a fire engine or a ladder truck that is, I forgot how long they are, but they're pretty damn big. Now, those fire trucks are in a hurry to get to a fire, because if your house is burning and you have a three-decker and your house is, you know, there are flames shooting out of the windows, you want that fire department to get to your house as soon as possible. Well, that fire truck can't make the turns onto the streets when it's bumpered up, there's traffic and cars backed up to every corner. Now, they try to go down the streets. I mean, there's literally an inch to a half an inch on either side of that truck. It's insanity. You know, and then one staircase, ask anyone who's a firefighter, would you want to enter any building that has one staircase to rescue someone on the third floor? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even live there. I wouldn't even live there.
Exactly. I know. It is such insanity, but everything that comes out of their mouths is insanity. So we have, you know, a chance to change things. You know, I'm asking everybody, all your listeners, go to massfiscal.org. Right now they have four calls to action on their website. It's massfiscal.org, and you just go to where it says on the tab up above, call to action. Sign all four of those petitions and send it up to your, it's going to go to your legislatures and to the government. Show them how crazy they are and how you do not agree with these crazy policies they want to pass in this state. We have to show them that no, we don't want your insanity. No, we don't want it. You know, we can call you all we want, but we have to take action in another form, because they really are, they're ludicrous. I mean, it's just, how insane can you get? I mean, Maura Healey just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and these ideas she comes up with are just, it's just complete and utter insanity.
Thank you, Kathy. Got a hold of you there. Appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Anyway, I think I mentioned this study committee will include fire safety, building, architecture, accessibility, and public safety representatives. Healey's office says it will study the safety performance of single-stair, multi-family residential buildings compared to those with at least two exits, recommend changes to the state building code, and identify ways to mitigate health and safety risks in single their buildings, according to Healey's executive order. Every safe, evidence-based strategy to build more homes is needed to meet the housing demands we are facing, and single-tier multifamily residential buildings could offer us a new way to increase our housing supply, Housing and Livable Communities Secretary Ed Augustus said. Healey's order appears to bypass a bill in the custody of the Senate Ways and Means Committee that also seeks the launch of a commission to report on building code changes to accommodate single staircases in multifamily residential buildings up to six stories. Senator William Brownsberger highlighted that bill at a forum last month when he said the Senate is exploring bold housing policies. It's not a bold housing policy. That's a stupid housing policy. Absolutely stupid. Jesse Kamson, Beninov, Jesse Kamson Beninov is the executive director of Abundant Housing Massachusetts. It said the double staircase requirement is based on antiquated fire safety precautions. He pointed to a 2024 Boston Indicators report that found that staircase changes would spur 130,000 homes on lots that currently are difficult, if not impossible, to build on because of the requirement for two staircases. That pushes this larger double-loaded corridor-style building that doesn't fit in a lot of our non-conforming lots throughout the region. You know, I got a better idea. How about if we stop issuing permits for empty stores? You ever see these empty stores all around the place? They're just built and nobody occupies them. How about if we stop issuing permits for that and, you know, require housing there or something? I don't know. Something's got to be better than putting Nana up on the sixth floor with no stairs to get out. Just doesn't make sense to me the way these people think. I don't care about the number of houses we can build or number of apartments we can build by taking the second stairway out. I don't care about that. I care about safety of our residents. My God, think of New Bedford and the massive fires that we've had where people have been hurt or killed or property, damaged or whatever for one way or reason or another. Imagine hanging out a window because you don't have a back stairway to get out. Well, I don't know. We're stuck on stupid in this state. That's all I can say. 508-996-0500. Got a break coming up right here. We're going to come back on the other side. Stay
care.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
Anyway. Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And what?
All right, welcome back. It is 2:44 on a wet Wednesday afternoon. 508-996-0500 is our phone number. Kathy alluded to the continuing feud between Maura Healey and Kelly Ayotte, the Republican governor of New Hampshire, just across the border. And the feud escalated a bit over the weekend when Maura Healey thought she's doing such a great job in Massachusetts, she can start telling Ayotte what to do in her state, right? State House News Service had the story from taxes to ICE detention. Governor Maura Healey, Kelly Ayotte are trading cross-border barbs and turning each other into convenient political foils in an election year. The latest flare-up between the Massachusetts Democrat and the New Hampshire Republican spans affordability, out-migration, taxes, and proposed 400-bed immigration and custom enforcement detention facility in Merrimack, New Hampshire, about 20 miles north of the Massachusetts border. Healy was on Channel 5's On the Record over the weekend calling for Ayotte to oppose the proposed detention facility in the Granite State. Maura, you should support it. You should bring it here because it would mean jobs. It would mean a constant source of revenue, jobs, income, and it's an industry that wouldn't leave, like all of the private industries, right? That you're driving out of the state. The latest flare-up between the Massachusetts Democrat and the New Hampshire Republican spans affordability, out-migration, taxes, and a proposed 400-bed ICE detention facility in Merrimack, about 20 miles north of the Massachusetts border. Healy called for Ayotte to oppose the proposed detention facility. When asked about the proposed ICE detention facility in Merrimack, Healy did not mince words. Absolutely not. That's crazy. Jeez. Oh, my God. The proposal is part of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Detention Reengineering Initiative, a plan to expand immigrant detention capacity nationwide. Documents released last week by Ayotte's office outlined a network of new large-scale detention centers and processing sites intended to serve as ICE's long-term detention solution and to support mass deportations. In Merrimack, ICE proposes retrofitting a roughly 325,000 square foot vacant warehouse into a regional processing center with 400 to 600 beds. The agency said it would spend a good deal of money. $158 million on renovations and $146 million to operate the site for its first 3 years. It's a lot of money. More and more. But don't put it here. Oh, okay. We'd rather give housing to illegal immigrants. ICE has described the initiative as a new detention model that aims to meet the growing demand for bed space and streamline the detention and removal process. The documents add these facilities will ensure the safe and humane civil detention of aliens in ICE custody while helping ICE effectuate mass deportation. Healy called the project outrageous and absolutely the wrong move for New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and our entire region. She added, Governor Ayotte needs to stand up and oppose this and say no. Now, you know why? Ayotte's got a brain in her head. She understands the immigration issues, and she understands that this means jobs and revenue for New Hampshire, something Maura Healy has no clue about. Maura Healy wouldn't think about bringing this to Massachusetts because, you know what? She wouldn't have to tax you as much. Ayotte told the New Hampshire Journal, New England is in this position because Governor Healy and Massachusetts created a billion-dollar illegal immigrant crisis in our region. Get your own house in order, Maura, said Ayotte. In a subsequent statement, Healy said, we should be opposing ICE and its tactics, not allowing them to expand. I oppose this in the strongest possible terms, and I am demanding that Governor Ayotte do everything in her power to block a new ICE facility in southern New Hampshire. Demanding. More is demanding that Governor Ayotte stop this. She's not even asking nicely. She's demanding. During her appearance on Channel 5, Healy also called for the federal government to defund ICE. Getting sick of that little chorus. ICE right now is not acting like a law enforcement agency. They are out there with really rogue tactics, she said, adding that ICE right now has more funding than all state and local law enforcement around the country combined. She said the agency has too much power, unbridled authority, and no guardrails. Healy was also asked about U.S. Census data showing a net loss of more than 30,000 Massachusetts residents to other states last year, including New Hampshire. That's one of the places more people are going to. Our population has actually grown by 125,000 over the last 3 years. And yeah, but they're all illegal immigrants, you buffoon. Hardworking people who are not on welfare are leaving in giant droves. She said, let me read the whole sentence. She says, our population has actually grown by 125,000 over the last 3 years. And actually, since I took office, we've actually slowed out migration. Still, she added, I want to keep every 20 to 45-year-old in this state. We've got a lot of assets and strength, but we've got to get a handle on costs. Yeah, you think? 508-960-500 is the number. And you are next to WBSM. Thanks for hanging on. Hello?
Hello?
You're next.
Hello?
Yep.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Yep.
Okay. Hi, Barry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Long time no hear. You were just speaking about, I know I can't even go there with the Maura Healey stuff, but you mentioned something about removing the second means of egress.
Yes.
Is that a proposal from the state?
Yeah, that is actually legislation that is pending right now.
Oh, my God.
To remove the second staircase on anything above the third story.
Oh, my God. Has the state fire marshal weighed in on this?
Well, Maura Healey has just appointed a commission to study it, to see whether it's feasible and safe. But what the lawmakers are saying is if you take that second stairway out, you can make the houses smaller, the apartment building smaller, and therefore you can build more.
That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life.
Really? I agree. Yeah.
Coming from somebody who spent 30 years in the fire service.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
I'm still involved with the fire service. That is the wrong thing to do. And I sincerely hope that a state fire marshal comes out against this.
Yeah, I do too.
In no uncertain terms.
And I think our entire legislative delegation needs to vote against this once it comes before them. I mean, it is absurd. The idea of, putting people's lives in danger. And I'm not even going to buy it if they say, well, you know, today's technology, today's technology don't mean a damn. If the apartment's on fire and Nana's going to run down four flights of stairs with no back staircase.
We're still losing people every day from fire.
Yeah.
It's completely insane.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much with your knowledge of the industry. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Barry. Yeah, you know, we're living in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Our state is run by crooked evildoers for the most part. My neighbor has been laid off for over a month, and he's been trying to collect, and he's been having a hard time. And he's gone down to the career center. You know, they moved it downtown to the Standard Time building.
Okay.
And when he went there, they gave him the runaround. They told him, well, you got to apply for an appointment online. And then he says, well, can't you help me out? And as he's talking, he sees several people that can't speak a lick of English. And they have translators and everybody there to help him to use the computers and to help him find work. And what kind of a career center or Mass Hire do we have that don't help us, the taxpayer, but yet they got time for translators and all the resources, staff to help them out and not help out you know, my neighbor out. I'm pretty sure he's not the only guy that's going through that BS down in the building there downtown.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm going to hold you short here because I got to get a break in, but I agree with you 100%. That is absolutely absurd. If you're going to help people, you got to help people, and you got to help all people, and especially people who have you know, a history of being taxpayers and so on and so forth. And I didn't know that they'd moved that into downtown. What a dumb idea that was. You know, so downtown, we're developing downtown, and we'll put a nonprofit into downtown, or a state building that pays no taxes or whatever downtown. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, listen, if you live in the New Bedford area and you are looking for some good quality pastries, you want to try out the Goulart Square Bakery, Goulart Square in the south end of New Bedford. Get to sample some of their stuff. Oh, my God. Chocolate-covered, strawberry-filled, baked turnovers, fresh. They've been in business 49 years now. Family-owned. Susan Gaspar is the owner right now. Have you tried a pistachio cannoli? That's... I mean, just thinking about it. I had one of those before I went on vacation. Malasadas. Also, they have Portuguese cheese, right? Meat and chicken pies, linguica, stuffed rolls. Most of all, it's all about the pops. Well, they are taking catering orders. If you're looking to do that kind of thing too, you can call ahead, prepay over the phone. Follow them now on Facebook. They got a new website coming up pretty soon, but it's the Goulart Square Bakery at Goulart Square in the south end of New Bedford. Just absolutely top-notch stuff. Please tell them Barry sent you. Won't you do that? All right, let me get the last break in. We're coming right back after this. Stay tuned. He was looking for the place called Lee Hole. All righty, welcome back. It is time to head into the newsroom. We're going to get the latest from ABC News, followed by WBSM News and the WPRI-TV Channel 12 weather forecast. Could be a little bit of snow in the area this evening. And so we'll have all the details on that. And then on the other side of the news, it's the Howie Carr Show, so you want to stick around for that. Always quite entertaining, right? And then we're going to come back tomorrow for the Thursday edition. I love these.